So glad to be in the house of God with all of you. Appreciate this wonderful meeting. My, it means so much to us. We're so thankful how God has come to us and blessed us. The Lord has just mightily used Brother Webb to preach His heart to us every service. And I've been touched like I've not been touched in years. Man, I went home every night and just seemed like deeply moved by the message. Appreciate the seed that's been sown and what God has done. It's just been a happy privilege of ours to be allowed to be here. And we just count ourselves least among you all. And I feel so humbled to have been asked by Brother Collins to come. And we trust that we've been a blessing to you in some small way. Thank you for all your kind considerations. We appreciate all the meals and the opportunity to stay at the Ray home and their hospitality. And thank you for your giving. May God bless you for your finance. As Pastor Collins has already said, we'll be going home tomorrow. Sister Kathy and I have both had a lot of physical problems this year. I'm somewhat better. Sister Kathy seems to be worse. And my dad's my pastor, and I've sought his counsel. We've decided to cancel our meetings from now till New Year's and go home. And I'll just be square with you. Fess up. We need God's help. And I know that God is able. So we're looking to Him. And we've confidence in you, precious people. We desire your prayers that God would come to us and He would help us. Amen. I'd like to preach you the burden of my heart. If you'd like to look with us tonight in the book of Galatians in chapter 6. And also in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verse 13. Verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 12. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. If the Lord would stand by me, I'd like to preach tonight on what I'm calling sin's second crop. Down in South Mississippi, yellow pine is one of our great sources of industry. And they come in and they clear cut the timber, and then they have what is called second growth crop. It's that forest trees that come up by nature. They just come up naturally after the removal of the first cutting by fire or by blade and saw. If the, amen, that second crop just comes up on its own. Praise God.
It seems like that there's something about sin that it is an inevitable law. And when one sows in sin, he never suffers crop failure. And I want to preach to you tonight that the sinner man, the wicked man, even the man or woman that has known God, when they sow the bitter seeds of sin, the sinner reaps in himself first that he defiles himself. He that was clean is now filthy, and he that is whole is now diseased. And he that was once sacred is now shameful. The sinner man, the wicked man that commits sin, he reaps in that he brings sin upon himself. But he also reaps sin's second crop in that he brings sin on others that are about him. And the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Amen. And there's something about sowing. Amen. It's already been said so well in this meeting. We're going to reap. We shape for ourselves the joy or fear of which the coming life is made, and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine or with shade. The tissue of the life to be, we weave with colors all our own, and in the field of destiny, we reap as we have sown. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You sow a thought, you reap a word. Amen. You sow a word, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, and you reap a destiny. So it is with every man in the field of life. We reap as we have sown. And David here is not exempt. He too reaps as he has sown. Amen. You plant, you pick. You pray, you pay. Every man reaps as he has sown. A man was once walking down the corridor, amen, of a prison. He seen one of the inmates there who had been there for many years. He stopped and looked at that inmate, seeing that he was trying to mend a piece of canvas that had a large rent in it. And as he watched the man working with his needle and thread just to make conversation, he said, "I see you're sewing there." But the inmate hung his head with shame and said, "No, sir, I'm here reaping." Amen. And so it is with every man in the field of life, in the field of destiny. Every man reaps as he has sown. David reaps as he has sown. He confesses his sin. His sin is forgiven. However, his sin is not forgotten. May I preach to you today that a broken promise is forever a broken promise. Amen. Every sin committed takes something away from human life. Amen. It's like a deep plowed furrow that can never be brought together again. Amen. Sin leaves a mark. Amen. Sin may be forgiven. David's sin is forgiven. He says, "I have sinned." And Nathan said, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." But who would argue with me tonight that David's sin is forgotten? For David's sin is not forgotten, because the sword never departs from his house. The sword falls and Amnon is gone. The sword falls and Absalom is slain. The sword falls and Adonijah has taken away. Your sins, amen, that you have sown will be forgiven, but perhaps in this life never forgotten. So God help us to take care how we sow in the field of life. Many times we think that we'll sow and we'll somehow be exempt. amen, we'll not be affected. But it's not that way. Let me preach to you tonight, amen, that we reap in the field of life, and we reap as we have sown in our memories. For while God may forgive us of the wrong we have committed, there is something about the human mind. We never forget those misdeeds. No sin can ever be as though it never was. Your sins may be washed, your sins may be forgiven, but the fact remains, you committed that sin. You allowed yourself to fall into that awful misdeed. Is not that what David confesses as he laments and cries and says, my sin is ever before me. Amen. He cannot escape it. Amen. Let me preach to you tonight. I believe there is a reason why that God does not allow us to forget our sins. Amen. While he may forgive us our sins, he does not allow us to forget our sins. Amen. He allows us to remember our sins that it may keep us humble.
Oh my.
He allows us to remember our sins that he may keep us humble. He allows us to remember our sins so that it may cause us to be more careful the next time. He allows us to remember our sins so that we'll be more charitable to our neighbor when they fall into sin. Come on here now. It seems like many of us have forgotten that we needed compassion. It seems like many of us have forgotten that we needed mercy. That we needed somebody to have compassion upon us. But may we remember, amen, as the scripture said, may we consider our own self. May we look back, amen, down the path which we have came. And may we see that God has been merciful to us. And then so may we be merciful and compassionate and show charity to our brother. Many of us need to remember that we have been forgiven. Aren't you glad you're sins have been forgiven? Amen. David repents and God forgives. David cannot forget, but God forgives. Oh, thank God for his forgiveness. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for all of his love and forgiveness that he shed abroad in our heart. Reminds me of the poet that told about a horseback rider who had been under conviction. The Lord was dealing with that man, but he was running from God. He was astride that mighty steed, and the animal stepped into a hole and threw its rider, and he called out on God while flying through the air, "Oh God, save me!" And the Lord heard his prayer and saved him. And he was also safe. And later he wrote and said, "Betwixt the stirrup and the ground, mercy I sought and mercy I found." Hallelujah. That's the way it was with you and I. Amen. We needed mercy, and mercy we found when we called on God in our desperation, in our hour of need. The Lord came and put away our sin. He forgave us. He washed us. He cleansed us. Let us not forget that God has forgiven us. Let us not forget that God has forgiven us. We reap in the fields we have sown, in that our memory comes to remind us again and again. David's memory reminds him again. Howbeit, Nathan says, did you ever stop upon that word? Did you ever linger upon that line for a moment? Howbeit, his sin is forgiven. But sin's jarring backlash has something else to say. sin's reaction, sin striking back, sin's backward movement, as if sin wants to make one more play, as if sin yet has something else that it wants to say. Amen. The second crop of sin. Amen. Remember our parents, Adam and Eve. Amen. When they were fascinated by the forbidden. Amen. And they partook of the prohibited. And they condoned what God had condemned. And the woman took and ate of the tree. And then gave also to her husband. Amen. But now, who can argue that we are reaping sin's second crop from the seeds of sin that were sown by our parents? Amen. Sin, it keeps coming back. And it keeps coming back again. And it keeps coming back again. Look at Abraham there with Hagar and Ishmael. Why does he have this problem? He's a reaping sin's second crop. Amen. She's an Egyptian maid when he got when he was in Egypt, and he never had any business in Egypt to start with. Look at Jacob as they bring the blood spattered coat home, and he looks at that blood spattered coat of many colors, and he weeps and laments and says, a beast, an evil beast, hath devoured him. Oh, but that wasn't the first time that trick had been used. Because many years before, it was he that had killed a goat and deceived his father. And now the goat comes home to Jacob. What's he doing? He's a reaping sin's second crop. We reap sin's second crop in our memory. We reap sin's second crop, and then it brings misery upon our lives. I was a city boy. My dad pastored a city church for a number of years, and he was raised in the city. And we went to the country once to see my great-grandfather, and we went down to my Uncle Trab. Travis is his name, but we called him Trab. Went down to see Uncle Trab, and he had a girl named Wanda. And Wanda, I was probably about 7 years old, and Wanda said, "You like plums?" I said, "I love plums." I didn't know if they come off of a limb or what, you know. I didn't know. Well, Wanda took me to a persimmon tree, and she gave me a green persimmon. And told me it was a green plum. Ooh, it drawed me up. And she said, "Oh, that one's not ripe enough. Here, try another one." One time was enough. Amen. Oh, that's the way it is with sin. One time is enough. My father-in-law farms a big garden every year, and when we're fortunate enough to, we get to go home when peas are coming in, and when corn's coming in, and whatever's coming in is what, amen, along with everything else they put on the dinner table that day, you know. And, amen, 3 weeks straight, maybe corn every day along with a different meat and some more vegetables, but amen, it might be peas every day for a month. And amen, my boy, I'll sit there, and after eating them for about 21 days straight, he'll say, "You know, these don't taste just as good as the first ones did. I feel like jumping up and screaming. If you take a day off, you might get the taste back for them again." Amen. But he'll sit there and, amen, spoon out another big, amen, plate of those peas and say, "I hope we get one more picking. If we can just get one more picking." Amen. And I think about myself, amen, down there in them rows. Amen. My back a breaking. Every muscle and fiber in me screaming. Amen. And while he's praying for a picking, I'm praying we don't get another picking. Do you hear me? That's the way it is with sin.
Amen. Once you've reaped the harvest, you know why I want to pick it. Amen. Once, amen, you realize the benefits of sin. You don't want another picket. But may I preach to you, there are deeds that you can commit, and there are sins that you can allow. They will follow you to your grave, and in the field of destiny, you will reap as you have sown.
Recently, my dad was called to testify for a Christian man, stand good for his name, and plead with the judge for mercy. A man that had been saved for probably 20 years, a misdeed committed in his early life while hooked on alcohol and drugs. After 20 years, seeing second crop come home, and that good Christian man had to stand as a spectacle before the public and be embarrassed. And if it had not been, amen, for my dad, amen, standing on his behalf, amen, there's a good chance that that good Christian man would have been behind bars today. What was it? It was sin, second cop. It was something that finally come home to you. Amen. Well, let me preach to you. Amen. There are sins you've committed, ma'am. There are misdeeds that you have allowed, sir. You cannot undo them. You cannot change them. Then why are you preaching tonight? I preach tonight to try to warn our precious children, amen, to try to keep them from making the same mistake, to try to keep them from falling into the same pitfall. Amen. I've heard my dad pray many a time. I never knew what he meant until God blessed me with a child of my own. But I've heard my dad pray often, oh God, I pray that my children will never know sin like I have known sin. Is it all right tonight if I warn our children to try to keep them from falling in the same pitfall and getting into the same trap, because the enemy has got a trap out there for our children. The enemy has a trap out there for our youth. How often, Brother Collins, have we hung our head and wept? Hung our head and cried. Wept, said, if only. But see, sin comes back again to haunt and to bring misery. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Did you get that? Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. But afterward, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Sin has an after taste. It's about like that sweet and low. Oh, isn't it awful? Just when you think you get it down and you're not going to taste it, you taste it. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. He enjoys his falsehood. He's tickled at his cleverness. He thinks himself coy. He thinks himself cool. He's pulled it off. He's misled others. And seems like he gets by with it. But he's too blind to see the rule is over his own eyes and not his neighbor's eyes. Amen. The inference there is, when corn is ground on a dirty floor, the grating soil spoils the bread. Let me preach to you tonight that Satan always sands
his corn. It may seem sweet at first, but afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Sin has a backlash. Sin has a second crop, and it's the bitterness of sin. For at last it biteth like an adder, stingeth like a serpent. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. And the wise man said, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So it is with sin. He knows not. It's for his life. He knows not the crop he's going to reap. He knows not the harvest that's going to come. Huh? Sin portrays it to be sweet. Sin portrays it to be something beautiful. It may begin that way, but somehow it never ends that way, does it? Reminds me of that young man that came and confessed that he had been unfaithful to his wife. He buried his face in his hands and wept till the tears ran out between his fingers and dropped on the floor. And he looked up at his pastor and said, "Oh, pastor, it's such a bitter disappointment." Sin always is. Sin always is. The devil would like to portray to you, young person, that sin is some beautiful thing. And you're going to have some wonderful, wonderful time. But then in the field of life, when you begin to reap as you have sown, you too will have to agree and admit sin is a bitter thing. Oh, God. Let me preach on. Amen. And lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bitterness of sin. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Amen. Soul death. The death of a man's soul. When God's Spirit departs from him, when the presence of God leaves a man, that man is dead. It is soul death. And this is the second death. Sin, second crop. Amen. In Adam all die. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that the judgment. And for man's going to die. Amen. This body is going to go back. Amen. To the sod. Oh, but that second death. For God to depart from the soul of man. For the soul of man to be lost. For all eternity. Without God. Sin's second crop. Amen. We reap in the fields of destiny in which we have sown. Sin's second crop, in that it mars our life. Reminds me of Brother Ralph Cox so often telling about the little boy who lied again and again. And every time he would lie, his dad would drive a nail in the barn door. Finally, the little boy looked and seen that that barn door was just covered with nails. He began to weep and cry, and repented of his lying. His dad took a hammer and pulled all the nails out. But then, try as they might, they could not remove the nail holes. And they wept for the holes. That's
the way sin does. Dr. Spencer was a wonderful Christian man, and he said that when he was a youth, that his dad was the best you ever seen for raising a garden, fruit trees and vegetables and things. And he said, when I was just a real little boy, Daddy planted me an apple tree. He said, when I become a young man, he said, a great a storm came up of some kind of wind, and one of the limbs blew off and it broke. And he said, we thought we'd lose that tree. He said, but Dad wrapped it up and thought he could graft it back together, and he did. He said, it seemed like by a miracle we saved that tree. He said, many, many years went by, and Spencer became a well-known physician. Over 3 decades, if I'm not mistaken, passed. And after some years, he returned back to visit the old home place. And of course, everything was grown up, and he had to make his way down into the old forsaken farmhouse. And he said, I decided to stay there for the night. And he said, during the night, there was an awful storm came. And he said, when I awoke the next morning, he said, I looked out in the yard, and he said, my apple tree was broken again. He said, but much to my surprise, it broke in the same place that it had broke at the first. Amen. That's the way sin does. Amen. It makes a weakness in your life. Amen. It puts there, amen, a taste for sin. My friend, it would be better for you that you never knew sin. Amen. The idea of the world is taste this and try this and know that and experience another. The best testimony you can have is you never did. I said that you never did. Amen. Because sin will mar your life and it will haunt you. Amen. Frank Borum tells about that beautiful little room. That beautiful little room. It's a baby's room. Amen. There's baby toys all around. A beautiful crib. Amen. Everything is fixed just so. Everything prepared for the child. But there's no child. He calls that little room hope. Hope. The child that does not lay in the crib, he names the child that is yet to be. You do not see that child there because that child is future. That child is tomorrow. That child is what you are to be. He said, but with every sinful act, with every wrong deed committed in that home, with every act of lust, with every fulfillment of each carnal appetite, someone walks in and strikes the child that is yet to be. Into the room called hope, into that room that represents tomorrow, the life that is yet to be. Every time that sin has its lustful way, someone walks in and smites again the child that is yet to be, until the child that is yet to be is bruised, marked, and marred. Oh, you see, my friend, young person, you are the child that is yet to be. Your life is that room called hope, because it's your future and it's your life. And with every deed you commit, and with every sin that you indulge in, you're destroying the child that is yet to be. Amen. Promises that will never be fulfilled. Talent that will remain
mine, yet unmined. Dreams that will never be experienced. Things that God intended for you to do. What you could have done for God. What you could have done for the kingdom of God. All of those things are destroyed. The child that is yet to be is destroyed. Because in the field of destiny, we must reap as we have sown.
And there's no more prophetic rhyme than these. I walk through the woodland meadows where the sweet wild birds sing. I found on a bed of mosses a bird with a broken wing. I healed its wound, and each morning it sang its sweet old strain. But the bird with the broken pinion never soared as high again. I found a young life broken by sin's seductive art. And touched with a Christ-like pity, I took him to my heart. He struggled with a noble purpose and struggled not in vain. But the life that sin had stricken never soared as high again. Howbeit, the child, sin's second crop, we reap in the field of destiny as we have sown. Because sin seeks to grow again and again. But can I, in closing, preach to you that there's something yet that also grows again? Samson had broke his vow. He had sold out to a heathen woman. Howbeit was the word that Nathan said to David. Howbeit, sin has something else to say. But in the book of Judges concerning Samson, the same word. As he finds himself in the prison house, the scripture said, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. You see, my friend, there is only one thing with which we can meet, amen, the crop of sin, and that's the crop of grace, amen. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. How in the world men and women ever overcome some things I can never fathom. I know they only did it by and through the grace of God. And so with Paul, I can say what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Look, amen, at John Newton. Amen. A slave of slaves. Him first a slave master. And then he fell into poverty. And he himself was a slave to an African woman. Amen. By a miracle, he was set free. Amen. And he wrote that song while at sea after a great storm. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, sin will have a crop, but may I preach to you that grace will have a crop, and the grace of God is able. I said the grace of God is able to deliver. The grace of God is able to forgive. The grace of God is able to cover a multitude of sins. Stand and give the Lord a praise tonight. Let's worship Him for His grace and His love. Yea, saith God, truly I will forgive. Truly I will pardon. Come to me, saith God,
Once again, I will wrap you up with arms of love and mercy. Once again, I will draw you into my bosom. I will hold you. I will love you. I will take you back, saith the Lord, if thou wilt but come to me, saith God. Truly thou hast said in thine heart, God does not care. God does not love. God is not concerned. But my spirit reaches for you this night, saith God. I love you. I am concerned about you. My spirit draws you even now, saith God, to restore you, to renew you. Come to me, saith God, and I will forgive. And I will heal, saith the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's thank God for the Holy Ghost dealing with hearts. Can we give reverence to the Spirit of God? God's here to move in this house. Wherein have I wronged thee, saith God? Have I done thee wrong? Have I ever done you harm? Others have failed you, but I have not failed you. Others have let you down, but I have never failed. Come to me, saith God, and once again I will prove myself to you. I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will pardon, and I will forgive, if you will but come, saith the Lord. God's just speaking to hearts tonight. While they give us a song, God's a calling. Sin has a crop. But last of all, I preach to you that grace desires to grow again. Grace desires to spring up. Grace desires to forgive. Grace desires to cover. You need that grace tonight. I want you to come all over this house. By Sister Colin sings, that tugging you feel in your chest, that drawing you feel down inside, God's a calling.
Amazing,
God's a calling. You need the Lord tonight. Young person, backslider, you need God tonight. Why don't you come back home? What about it? Maybe you failed in your experience. You've become lukewarm and indifferent. You're not where you need to be with God. I want you to come. How about it? How about it? All over this house. Would you meet at this altar? Is there one? How about it? Oh, my God, I feel like I need to seek the Lord.
How precious is that grace appear
all over the Spirit.
I first believe.
God's a dealing. Just don't get in a hurry. Wait on the Lord. Let the Spirit do the work.
And since I have already
others have come. You feel your need to come?
His grace hath brought me saved the storm. And grace will
let's sing to the Lord tonight. What do you say? Let's make it 100%. Make us an altar. Let's sing to the Lord.
We bless.
fear and grace my fears.
Precious dear, that grace.